And so let's consider this from Lowe's chapter on unrestrained vengeance, which shows that obedience for us and duplicity for them is powers, the state's sine qua non. Quote, the parts of Europe that saw the greatest levels of enmity toward German civilians were those where Germany, and this is obviously after the end of World War II. That's the book we're looking at, Savage Continent, Europe in the Aftermath. The parts of Europe that saw the greatest levels of enmity toward German civilians were those where Germans and other nationalities lived side by side. The Czech capital of Prague was a paradigm case. Prague had been home to both Germans and Czechs for hundreds of years, and resentments between the two communities, and I would believe that as long as we are under the regime of scarcity, there's going to be divisions around that. But we didn't create that. That is made intentionally as a control tactic. Resentments between the two communities dated back to the time of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Not counting Vienna, Prague was the first foreign capital to be taken by the Nazis and the last to be liberated. Its Czech citizens therefore suffered the occupation longer than any in Europe. Many of them regarded their German neighbors as traitors who had paved the way for the German invasion in 1938. It's difficult to say just how many Germans died in Czechoslovakia as a result of the chaotic events in the aftermath of the war, but the figure is certainly in the tens of thousands. The subject is still so controversial and provokes such strong emotions on both sides that all statistics relating to the number of deaths are contested. German sources name 18,889 people who died before and during the expulsions from Czechoslovakia, 5,596 of them violently. But these figures do not take into account those whose deaths went unrecorded. The most reliable and impartial estimates have been compiled by the Czech historian Tomáš Staněk, who cautiously suggests that between 24,000 and 40,000 Germans died as a direct result of their treatment during the post-war chaos in Czechoslovakia. Staněk also gives figures for the numbers of Germans imprisoned in the aftermath of the war. There's no doubt that some of these prisoners were guilty of the crimes that they were collectively blamed for. In principle, this use of conscripted German labor was not markedly different from what was going on in the rest of Europe, including Great Britain, where 110,000 German prisoners of war were still working at the beginning of 1948. My interjection. Is it not long past time for we commoners to insist in discussions from the pundits who get on the airwaves that they admit that work is the core, that work is at the core of everything? That's it. And that is what we have to talk about until we're free. That's the only way all the other stuff happens. We got to release our human energy. And then trust, we'll make the world a paradise. Because that's what we want. It ain't rocket science to do it either. Everything that we've created in the way of knowledge of living sustainably, we do that. It's our energy of creation and execution from beginning to middle to end. So 110,000 Germans were working as essentially slave laborers in Great Britain, just one country we're talking about, at the beginning of 1948. Indeed, the use of forced German labor was endorsed by the international agreements between the big three. Russia, or excuse me, USSR then, the United States, Great Britain. They put their heads together and sculpted the world for us. I wonder if we will, once we're free, uncover the true deal of how World War II managed to segregate everybody in their individual nation so comprehensively. So the big three got together and agreed that yes, slave labor is okay with us as long as it's German. But whereas in Britain, only military prisoners were used as forced labor. Most of those conscripted in Czechoslovakia were civilians. Forced laborers in Czechoslovakia were also routinely humiliated in ways that deliberately emulated the Nazi treatment of Jews. They were made to wear swastikas, white armbands, or patches of material painted with the letter N for Nemec, meaning German. And then my interjection, Lo, includes a translation of a poster which reads the presidium of the local national committee for Prague 12 has decided to solve the question. I'm sorry, it literally mimics the language of Nazism. Or I should say, totalitarianism. Has decided to solve the question of Germans, Hungarians, and traitors as follows, unquote, which a Czechoslovakian state district displayed in Prague in June 1945. And that poster concludes, citizens, workers, and toiling people, and the dictators always appeal to we commoners to join with them. Weird but energy. To fuel their misanthropy. Citizens, workers, and toiling people, we will, in accordance with the principles of our government, carry out a proper purge and establish order, at least in our district. Therefore, help us, you too, to make Vinorodi national and ours as soon as possible, unquote. So much for the rule of law. There you have democracy in action. I don't think I want it. Then it concludes, these measures are only temporary, pending the deportation of all these people, unquote. Low comments that the Czech authorities wanted merely to expel Germans and Hungarians, not to exterminate them. This surely constitutes a whole world of difference, unquote. He then qualifies this by discussing extermination camps for Germans elsewhere. My point is that, as Popper said, the ideology of obedience, of worshiping the state, ever lurks in these organs of power, and not just in potential, but necessarily, by definition, under the class system.